I don't know whether you've ever gone to a castle like Carrickfergus Castle or Edinburgh Castle and wondered what it must have been like to have been a lookout in days when the castle was under attack. Maybe to see an invading army or an invading navy, and to have warned the people down below to get ready for the battle that was coming. And then maybe if you had children with you, it's great fun to imagine the fear and the excitement of the battle. And especially firing arrows out through those slitty windows and imagining fighting off the invader as he tried to scale the walls. Here in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet at the start of chapter 2 and verse 1, maybe the King James Version puts it better to bring out the meaning. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he, God, will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." Habakkuk, you see, has been arguing with God. If you're using the NIV, you'll see that chapter 1, verse 2 is labelled by the translators Habakkuk's complaint, whilst chapter 1, verse 12 is labelled Habakkuk's second complaint, and his complaints are against God. Wonder if you ever complained against God. You maybe recoil at the very thought of complaining about against God. And yet, isn't it the case sometimes that we are tempted to go around with a Mona Lisa smile on our faces, and yet we're not quite real when we do that? Here is a man who is feeling his circumstances. Here is a man who is wrestling. Like Jacob wrestling with God, he's wrestling here. And he is facing up to circumstances that seem to be contradictory. How can God be in these things? And he's praying to God, and he's gone up onto his watchtower in order to do that. So let's hear what his complaint was. And it's there in chapter 1, verse 12. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O rock, you have ordained them to punish. Habakkuk here is complaining that God has raised up the Babylonians to bring judgment upon Israel. And what a horrible nation the Babylonians were. He is, in the reading that Karen gave earlier, he has listed some of his problems with the Babylonians. They were a cruel people. They were a brazen people in their idolatry. They sacrificed to nets of fish, and they burned incense to their catches. They were a gluttonous people, a cruel people. They dealt ruthlessly with prisoners of war. A really unsavory, merciless nation, and yet somehow God was using them. How could a pure God use such an impure nation? That's the challenge that Habakkuk is addressing and that Habakkuk is trying to get an answer for. Because you see, he knows that God himself is a God of purity. He says that, doesn't he? He says, "Your eyes," in chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "Your eyes are too pure to look upon evil." Habakkuk, at some point in his life, had become a believer. He had given his life to the Lord, and he was someone who we're told in chapter 1, verse 1, was the prophet of the Lord, the spokesperson for God. We know really very little about Habakkuk apart from that statement. But he was a faithful prophet. He was a man of God. He walked with God. So how could a God who was pure, how could such a God use such impure instruments as the Babylonians? It's funny, isn't it, the things we complain about. A church isn't on at the minute, as you know, and when you're in church, you maybe go to a meeting and there's people in the same meeting. One's complaining it's too cold, and one's complaining it's too warm. But Habakkuk is wrestling with this question of the purity of God. How can a pure God use such impure instruments? And how does he respond to this question? Well, we've hinted at it already. I've been reading this week how people are responding to the COVID-19 crisis. Basically, apparently, they fall into three categories. You're either an acceptor, you're a sufferer, or you're a resistor. they accept or say, wash your hands, care for your neighbour, clap for the NHS, obey the government, be nice to people. That's an acceptor. The sufferers say, oh, this is awful. They lament what's going on. They say, I'm depressed by it. I'm just praying for an end. I've had enough. This is terrible. And then there are the resistors, and the resistors are the people who say, this is ridiculous. Things have gone far too far. We need to lift the lockdown, and we need to get back to normal life. And maybe we do a wee bit, but the resistors are often people who are resentful, maybe more, of the legislations that have been put into place. So what was Habakkuk to his crisis? Was he an acceptor, a sufferer, or a resistor? He was none. None of them. He says, I will stand at my watch. This is his response. And station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, God, will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. As Habakkuk saw the distressing rise of the cruel and merciless Babylonians, he turned to the Lord in prayer. He wasn't an acceptor. Oh, well, what will be, will be. He wasn't a sufferer. Oh, woe is me, this is awful. He wasn't a resistor fighting against the circumstances. Rather, he was a man of prayer. Up on the ramparts of the city wall, you can maybe see him going up into the ramparts and finding a little nook, maybe in a turret, a lookout turret. And he meets with God. He prays to God. He seeks the mind of God. I believe we need folk like this in our day and age as well. People were used to bemoaning the circumstances, bemoaning the crumbling of the morals of our nation. Our nation is changing so fast, and God has brought it all to a halt. And who knows what prayers God has been answering, what prayers God has been hearing, what people have not just been moaning, but they have been ministering to the Lord in prayer. Calling upon God. And we need men and women who are intercessors, who will pray and plead with God to move in the nation. And our nation has been stopped. I'm reminded of the words of Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, who said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. And there's something of that spirit here in Habakkuk. As in weakness, he looks to the Lord for answers to his questions. And maybe you're here listening to me tonight and you're looking to the Lord for answers to your questions. Keep looking, keep praying, keep seeking the face of God. Because the really encouraging thing here is that the Lord has an answer for Habakkuk. And it comes in chapter 2 and verse 2. God answers prayer. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Two things I love here. Firstly, that God is a God of revelation, a God who sees the future, and a God who knows the future. In no sense is the devil in charge. This looks a cruel nation, but in no sense is the devil in charge of these things. Sometimes people say the devil did this or the devil did that. If that was the case, you know, what a world, what an awful world it would be to live in some senses the devil was in charge. Our God is sovereign. Our God even raises up the cruel nations like the Babylonians in order to use them for his own ends, here to discipline Israel for their idolatry and their violence and their injustice. But the second thing I love here is not just that God is a God of revelation, but God is also a God who shows Habakkuk the end of all things. He takes him to the end of the world. And this is why these verses turn up in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10. In the book of Hebrews, many of the Christian believers were being tempted to go back to Judaism, to give up on their faith in Christ. Maybe The church of Christ wasn't growing the way they wanted it to grow. Certainly they were facing persecution and there was pain in that. Following Christ didn't seem to pay in this world, and so some were throwing in the towel, or they were tempted to throw in the towel. And so the writer to Hebrews quotes Habakkuk 2 verse 2 to talk about the end of time, the end of the world, and in particular, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always an admirer of the men who sit by the side of the road who work for BT. You know those green boxes you see along the side of the road? And whenever those boxes are opened, to my eye, maybe to your eye, it just looks like a mass of wires, tangled wires. And yet those engineers are able to work with those wires and they're able to make connections. They're able to connect you up to the telephone. They're able to connect you up to the internet. And who knows what else they're able to do by making the connections in those green boxes. And here we are reminded in this book of Habakkuk that this world is so often it looks like a place of just tangled wires. A place like it's Spaghetti Junction. We can't make sense of it. But our God is making connections in the middle of it. Our God is calling men and women in the middle of it to himself. He is saving men and women in the middle of it. And he's building his church. He's making the connections. You see, none of us are born as Christians. You need to be born again in order to be a Christian. You need to be born again in order to connect up with God, in order to receive the forgiveness of God and to know the life of God and to be delivered from the wrath that is to come. And Habakkuk here, God is saying to him, Habakkuk, the end is coming. Just be patient. The end of the world is near. Just trust me in what I am doing, Habakkuk. Live by faith. This is the message that keeps coming across time after time after time again in the book of Habakkuk. The righteous will live by his faith. Put your faith into me, God is saying. I am drawing men and women unto myself. I am building my church. The last day is coming. Judgment day is coming. And I'm saving men and women before that day so that they are ready for that day. Their sins forgiven. They're looking in faith to me. They're living by faith. And on that day, they will be rescued. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful message that is. And so God is saying to Habakkuk and through him to you and to me, trust me, put your life into my hands. Whatever tangled mess of circumstances you may or may not find yourself in, Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming soon. The judgment is coming. So live by faith. The just shall live by faith and by faith alone. Put your faith into the Lord. Rest in him and God will carry you through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you, Father, for the message of Habakkuk that the just shall live by faith. You're a God of revelation. Your God has shown us the end of all things. And we thank you in the meantime, Lord, in the midst of all the tangle of life, you are building your church. Father, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.